Hi there, and Merry Christmas.
He's Frank Sinatra.
Hi, he's Dean Martin.
I'm Julie Andrews.
I'm Harry Connick Jr.
This is Taylor Swift.
And this is Leanne Rimes. And you're listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I'm very excited to have singer, songwriter, entertainer Judith Owen on today's episode of the podcast. Hi, Judith. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
You've got a new Christmas album just out, and I want to get to that in a minute. But for anybody who's not familiar with you, I know that you record music in and perform in so many different genres: rock, pop, classical, jazz, blues, musical, theater. Your dad was an opera singer. It's a huge mix. And I just wonder, is that ever like a problem? Because people like to put performers in a box that you're a blues artist or you're a theater person or whatever. And the truth is, we all love so many kinds of music. I just wonder if you ever ran into any issues with that.
You kind of answer the question for yourself in a way, because we all love all kinds of music. That is the absolute truth. That is what it's all about to me. Nobody on this planet loves one type of music and only listens to that. We listen to so much because we need so much, because taste and our desire in life that suits our moods, that suits every single thing. Music's the soundtrack to our lives, and we do not. If you imagine what a boring life it would be if all you ever listened to was classical or jazz or pop, that's not who we are as human beings. The only people that make it difficult to be somebody as varied as me and somebody that cross genres, although keeping my style constantly as mine. I mean, my sound is my sound, and that's what makes it cohesive throughout. That's why you know it's me. But the only people that ever have problems with this is the business, are the gatekeepers in this world who think that you need to be pigeonholed, particularly if you're a woman. I have to say, it's very, very stay in your lane. And it's really down to the fact that they need to sell it. And therefore, it's all about commerce, really. It's about wanting to know that they're selling this one product. But I'm so overjoyed and happy to see so many artists who are changing lanes, who are crossing those invisible, boundaries which don't really exist. Whether it be, you know, your Jacob Collier or your Taylor Swift or your Beyonce, or who put any name on it, or your Terrence Blanchard, anybody that knows that there is absolutely, that there is no border here. There isn't a border that you have need a passport to get into to cross into different styles and genres. We are all the product of the music that we grow up listening to, that affects us, that influences and inspires us. It's never one thing, because music is the universal language. We know that, but it is our dialect. It is our language. It's our vocabulary. And we don't just say one word over and over and over again. So I count myself as being one of those sort of stubborn but very honest artists, because I've managed to make a success, have success and be a successful artist and have a career by absolutely going into all the areas, as you said, coming from classical and jazz, which are the first things I heard. Jazz and blues and classical, they were the basics right there. Those are the building blocks. But so much, I'm a theater baby. I trained as an actress. I'm a performance artist person. Everything I do has a theatricality to it, and there's a sense of being soulful and dramatic. So I, to be honest and authentic as an artist, I believe that you have to be absolutely honest and accepting of who you are, and to lead with your strengths and what makes you unique and an individual, as opposed to sticking in one lane and doing it until no one wants it anymore or people are tired of it. And then they're changing and moving, looking to the next person. You know, we grow constantly. I've had an insane pleasure of working with the kind of people who I saw from an early age expand and had the attitude that you don't stop learning until the day you die as an artist, and that your job is to keep pushing. And, you know, look at somebody like Bowie, look at Prince, look at all the, you know, I'm sitting here in Minneapolis right now thinking of that. But people who just push the envelope and aren't afraid of seeking and learning and growing, at the same time not becoming indulgent and forgetting your audience and what they want. But for God's sake, this is a small time that we all have on this planet. It's ours to discover and be imaginative and keep raising the bar. And I told you I would talk a lot, but I'm Welsh. I can't help it.
That's quite all right. A great example of what you're talking about is you've put out 13 albums, but this one's kind of in the middle. Rediscovered the songs that are, you know, almost back to back. You've got Black Hole Sun and Smoke on the Water and Play That Funky Music and Blackbird and Dream a Little Dream of Me. And, you know, you were talking about the gatekeepers. I can imagine radio programmers' heads just exploding with that kind of lineup, but they all work. And they're all songs that we all love. And there shouldn't be any of that stay in your lane. You want to sing Soundgarden? Great. You want to sing the Beatles? Terrific.
Of course.
And
it's all about if you, like I said, if you're, you know, when the thing that they all have in common is that they sound like me. It's my sound. There are my arrangements. I've rewritten these songs, as in I've rearranged these gems, these classics, and many unexpected songs like Drake's Hotline Bling. You know, I've gone really out there and treated these songs as if they're my own, and they're coming from my point of view, and they sound like originals. Because why? I don't believe in just covering a song. And I mean, the best is the original. That's all there is to it. And you can't, don't think otherwise. But what you can do with it by making it your own is something exciting and incredible. But I'm putting my, as a writer, I'm putting my stamp on these things. I'm literally rediscovering them. So you're hearing things in them you never thought possible. So Hotline Bling isn't a booty call anymore. It's a song about waiting for the person you're in love with to call you, but that the heartbreak and the absolute, as I remember it, pre-marriage, the torture of waiting for the phone call that never comes because that person just isn't really that interested in you. And so it's that thing of like seeing it through your experience, your mind, your heart, and making it your own. And the audience, that's what I mean. It's just like the public, my fans, my audience get what I do, as in they absolutely come to it with open ears and open arms. And that's what I'm always aware of. And that's why in this time where it's so much, I mean, of course, the huge artists, the massive artists out there that, you know, somebody like Taylor Swift, lover or hater, I think I take my hat off to that woman. She's just in control, doing whatever she wants, the way she wants it. And ultimately, I think that's the thing is as the gatekeepers become less, because artists take control of their careers and what they're doing, then you have an opportunity to actually produce the things that the business doesn't come in between you and your public. The public knows what they love, knows what they like. They'll let you know what they like and what they don't like. And as an artist, you have to take great notice of that. Pay attention to the reaction of your public to what you do.
And that's kind of what you and your husband did when you launched your own record label 15 years ago or so, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd been signed to Capitol Records, which was like the greatest times, the worst, you know, the best times, the worst times, as a flagship artist on Java, and was being produced by Glenn Ballard, who was just off, you know, made gazillions from Alanis Morissette. And you have to understand that, you know, again, it's sort of like To be seen by somebody like Glenn, who says, okay, I get this. I hear the classical, I hear the pop, I hear the jazz, I hear it all. And it's all beautiful. And the singer-songwriter, I hear it all. And it makes perfect sense. And so it was the greatest of times because it was the flagship album on his label set to sell multi-millions. And then the president was sacked, was let go, as they call it. And yet another golden handshake. A man from Arista, Roy Lott, came in, and his whole job was to basically slash the labels and the artists from Capitol, so that it was going to basically become a library. You know, it was much more about past artists. So that's what it became, and it was a miserable, appalling, terrible time. And it really taught me. It drove home the realization that labels are banks. And that you're dealing, that you are product, and that's fair enough because it is a business. It's not called the music loving, it's called the music business. And that if you can keep control over your music, your destiny, what you do, and try and limit the amount of people who are telling you, no, you can't do that, and realize your life, your life's dreams and ambitions, then that's really the way to do it. But it was the jumping through hoops to please people who could not be pleased because the job, you know, the decision to be made. And that was the big life lesson that I had in my career. And I don't know of many artists who haven't been in that dilemma. I mean, again, I'm going to, you know, relating to the biggest powerhouse there is right now. But when you think about Taylor Swift and Scooter Braun, you know, that whole thing and re-recording all her songs so that she owned them again. It's really, that's how most artists feel. And that's usually the dilemma and how most artists feel on a label. They feel pretty damn trapped. Very fortunate situation to be an artist and to have freedom. Very rare, very fortunate. But that was why we created the label, so that we would have that freedom, because without that, you don't get to be an artist. You get to be a machine. Who tends to jump through hoops trying to recreate your whatever success you've had. And believe me, when you have that success, it's the most thrilling, most wonderful thing in the world, and you have that giant machine behind you. It's extraordinary. But you sometimes have to make those decisions and decide how you want to exist in this world. And that's just the game.
You know, I deal mostly in Christmas music, and I get hundreds of songs sent to me every year. And there are so many of them that seem to be more like they're a product, like the studio tells the artist, okay, you got 10 minutes of time left. So they knock out a version of Jingle Bell Rock, and it's mechanical, and it just is phoned in.
Yeah.
And it's nothing special. Most of the time, it doesn't even sound like whatever artist has recorded it. It's one of a billion. And you get an artist like you, and I listen to the new record, and I believe you. It sounds authentic. It sounds real. It sounds like you're recording that because that's what you want to record. That's what you want to say.
Yes, it's absolute truth. And I've always, I one of the reasons that I have, you know, I'm unapologetically who I am. I say this, and I've become even more so in my little jazz outing, because nobody really knew I was going to go full throttle on this front. But I'm so glad I did, because this is where I came from. Like I said, classical jazz and blues. These were the first things I ever heard. And the songs that you're hearing on this new album, Juzo, and Swings Christmas, these songs mean the world to me. This music, you know, I'm a music lover. I'm a fan. I'm not just somebody that just cranks out songs and goes into a studio and just records stuff because I think it sounds nice. I only record music that moves me, that means something to me, that has played a serious part in my life. The songs that I write that are about what is affecting my life and how I think, who I am. I cover songs that I feel like are my life, that I can see my life in them, which is why I cover them. And it's the same thing with Christmas. Christmas is a love-hate relationship for me, as it is for so many people. But man, Christmas songs are some of the most extraordinary, beautiful, stunning creations in the, you know, that any of us know. They are our folk songs. They are what we all want to hear. And if ever there's a time you want to hear big band, ever, I believe it's Christmas time. Because if you're the person that I am, it's funny, I was just watching the Amy Winehouse film in the screeners that I've got to vote on for BAFTA right now, so I'm getting into the Christmas spirit, because that's what I do every Christmas, is vote for films. You know, and your love has been Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald and Dinah Washington and God knows, you know, Doris Day and Mel Torme and all these giants and Nat King Cole. You know, it's the true love, respect and appreciation for that art form, which must not ever be lost. You know, I'm like you. I can't bear the phoning in of songs. I can't. I've said this long time. My long time when I'm doing the more pop stuff, you know, singer-songwriter stuff, Leland Sklar. We always chuckle because I always say I don't do karaoke, and I don't, because you've got to absolutely mean everything you sing. Every note has to be authentic, real, from your heart. Otherwise, don't bother. We've all heard a lot of phone-in stuff. It's karaoke. I have no interest in that. So my love of the sadly just departed Quincy Jones, obviously, so much big band arrangement that just makes your hair stand on end. And of course, the giant of big band, Nelson Riddle, the greatest big man arrangements for Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald that any of us have ever heard. Turn on any Christmas, anything, or if, you know, Capitol Records, Frank, you'll hear what I mean. So my desire for these songs was to bring the joy. The big band is such an elating sound. It's so thrilling. And again, you can be a lazy big band, by the way, and phone it in too. It's not just the singing, it's the playing. But I live in New Orleans and London and LA as well, but mostly New Orleans. And I have to say, the players in New Orleans, they don't have a lazy bone in their body. What they have is swing, sexy, gritty swing that this music must have. And the result is music that makes you kind of want to grab the bubbly, dance around the tree, dressing the tree, Christmas morning, wrapping the presents. That's what's in my mind. That's what's in my mind is, I want you to put on a fugly sweater and put some tinsel on and dance around that tree to this music, because that's what it makes you want to do. You want to dance. You want to dance and feel good about life, people you love, all the lights, the loveliness, the things that we long for that are so hard to get at Christmas, because we have a wonderful life playing in our heads. You know, we have all the things playing in our heads all the time. But this is the summation of it. This, to me, is the Christmas soundtrack. And I'm so proud of the outcome, because I'm my biggest critic. I'm so hard on myself, but I can put this on and it makes me feel all gooey and yummy and scrummy. And it makes me want to just dress the tree and wear red sparkly things. So I know I've got it. I know I did it right, and I know I honored the music and the genre. You know, big band is really, like I said, you got to get it right. You have to do it right. And I think my audience, and I think people hearing this are going to feel that same really good, warm, glowing feeling inside that this music makes you feel.
I remember a quote from Aretha Franklin, I think it was around 2007, 2008, where she had said she was getting ready for Christmas and she's in the kitchen and her family's over and they went to put on some music. And it really occurred to her that she didn't have a Christmas album and she should, rather than listening to another cover of
Correct.
The same thing over and over again. why not? Why should I have to listen to that when I could make my own? And she did it. And you know, we won't have another Aretha, but that was terrific. And it was, and you know, she put her stamp on it. She did it her way.
That's right. And that's exactly it. And that's why I'm the biggest Aretha Franklin fan, and she was one of my big influences in life after the classical and jazz and blues and everything. And all these women from the 40s and 50s who I've been celebrating in the last couple of records that I've done, who were so inspiring to me, who made me want to be a badass and unapologetic woman, you know, who's really as big as I wanted to be and as authentic as I wanted to be, in spite of what the business might tell you. Aretha is one of those. And she, there's nothing she did that wasn't just spine-chillingly brilliant. And I have to say, I felt the same way every bloody year. I'm like, I've got my shuffle on of all my Christmas songs. And every Christmas morning, I'm panicking before people come over for my giant Christmas meal that I'm sweating bullets over. I'm always panicking to get the music together. And I agree. So this year I thought, hang on a second. Hang on. I've done all these, you know, I don't really want to listen to myself singing in the background. That's one of the most nerve-wracking things you can do to yourself because all you hear are the mistakes. But really, I decided, no, this is the time. This is the time to do something that puts you in the mood. And so, yeah, I get that. And I'm very glad I did this because, again, I like what you just said there. It is about putting your stamp on it. And I believe in that. I think you put your stamp on what you do. That's the job. It's to make you, it's to, right now, for me, it's to bring joy and happiness to people. I think COVID really, really put me into a different mindset where I wanted to feel joy and happiness. I wanted to feel good. I wanted to be distracted. I wanted to be elated. I wanted something that made me want to, you know, dance around the room and feel good. And it's continued. And this is a continuation of that feeling, which is, this is a pretty joyless world that we're in right now. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like a downer, but there's a lot of really troubling things going on. And we always look to the arts. We always look to music to distract us and to elevate us and to for escapism. And I think this is truly what I'm in the business of doing right now. It really is.
You know, in October, the Sounds of Christmas station goes all Halloween. We play all Halloween music, and I a couple years ago I came across your cover of Dinah Washington's "My Man's an Undertaker," and I thought this is a fun song that is almost lost because people haven't been covering it, and it just fits in the mood, and it doesn't make you necessarily want to dance around the room, but it gives you the spirit of that season.
Oh
And
yeah, it re you know, the thing is, what a great, I mean, I've been in the business of finding these songs that no one really knows about, whether it be an artist who'd been forgotten, Nellie Lutcher, Julia Lee, Mary Lou Williams, Dinah Washington's really, really like dark and often filthy songs. They're my favorites. It's like dripping with double entendre and innuendo. But the idea that what she's saying is, my new man is an undertaker, and if you cross me and if you ever show up ever again, you're going out in a box. It's the most wonderful, witty, brilliant, you know, it's the like twinkle in the eye, tongue in cheek stuff that I love so much. So I've very much been in the business in the last few years of bringing these to the fore because they're saucy and sexy and they are to be celebrated. I mean, they're just joyful. And this year, I don't know if you saw it, but I had a really for Halloween, I did a very, I'll send it to you actually so you can see it. I did a version from earlier, the Burn Marion's in Burn, where I did my version of the talk about Nina Simone and Screaming Jay Hawkins. It's kind of a mashup to do my version of "I Put a Spell on You," and it that to me is just like one of those extraordinary songs when done right. And I get to to be on the piano, really hammering it out and going full on blues, jazz and blues, which makes me oh so very, very happy. So we gave that the Halloween treatment this year, which always makes me chuckle. But yeah, Christmas, though, straight from the darkness into the light, basically.
Right.
And then you're into the songs. And it's so, every year I'm like, you know, you've got a 3-week window, really. I mean, you got from the beginning of maybe a bit more, you know, but you've got November, yes, but people are then looking forward to Thanksgiving, really. The Christmas window is so small, but it's so beautiful when it's done right, and it's so corny and dreadful when it's done wrong. So that really is, I think, the point is to do it right and to get that, to make the season a joyful and wonderful one. There's a song on this album which is actually an original by my musical MD, my musical director, David Tokanowski, and he wrote it with a couple of other people called No Better Time. And honestly, I had to cover it because I thought it sounded like a classic. It sounds like a new classic, especially with a big band. It sums up what this is all about. It sums up everything about generosity of spirit, of kindness, of actually enjoying and savoring this time when people are meant to be, you know, on their best, at their best. And so it's nice to be doing that alongside of, you know, some of the greatest classics like Silver Bells and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. What Are You Doing New Year's? It just breaks my heart. It's so beautiful. Cool Yule's another one that is just not that well known, but they all have that. And then Run Rudolph, which I'm sorry, I had to do as a shuffle. I had to take that into Quincy land. And I did that and asked, you know, my amazing arranger, John Wesson. I basically said, no, this is, I would sing out the parts. I would sing out the tempos. But this is really, you're following this. This is a true rhythm and blues shuffle, and to treat it as such. And that's, it's just, there's no more fun, honestly, than singing with a big band. You can't imagine how it feels. It's thrilling.
No Better Time is the leadoff track. And it's on my list of one of the first things to ask you for the reasons that you mentioned. It sounds like it's something I should have heard before.
Yes.
It has that timeless quality that is like, who did this song before? Where do I know this from?
I know.
And I don't. It has one of those things where it sounds like something I've never heard before, and it sounds very familiar all at the same time.
Yes, it does. And it's really, now as a big band arrangement, it sounds even more classic because it just has that sense of, well, how long is it? Where has this been all this time? You know, it's been around forever. Nah. Because I think that with the bit that my job with the big band, I think, and with all these songs and with the feeling is to make it sound is nostalgia. This is a nostalgic time of year. We're all in a nostalgic mood. We're looking back, but we're in the present, but we're looking back to all those things that we feel somehow meant so much or made life perfect. We get all very gooey and nostalgic, and that's great. And this is what this music sums up. But you have to have a freshness to it and a fresh take on it. To make it relevant, and I think that has been I think I've succeeded in doing that. And a song like this, it's so wonderful that it is a new song, but it sounds like it's a classic and sounds like it's dripping into nostalgia from another time. It makes me very happy every time I hear it. Like I said, I think it should be a Christmas classic. I really do.
And another one that you mentioned, Cool Yule,
yes,
is such, it has something undefinable about it that is just Christmas magic. I don't know if Louis Armstrong was the first to do it, but there just haven't been that many versions. And it captures that New Orleans feel when you've got the big band in there. And it just, it's Christmas magic.
Yeah, it really, really is. And that was, I believe that was written by Steve Allen. one of his thousands of songs. That I guess he was a TV guy. Harry's always telling me it is, and he wrote songs on the side, lots of theme songs. And this is such a great, whimsical, like hipster 50s thing. You know, it's like those crazy, you know, it's like the crazy Santa and like, you know, all this. It's like swinging kid. It's all the words that I love. You know, it's very Frank Sinatra that way. But it has, it's so much fun. It's just, again, I chose these songs because they put you in the mood. They're everything that we feel. It's the nostalgia that we feel. It's everything that we look to, which is the totally, you know, imagine a world of imagination and all the images that we love, and the Rudolphs and the sleigh and the Santa and the, and everything that's just magical. And it all lives in our imagination. And that's what these songs are about. And, you know, even Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which is one of the most heartbreaking songs on the planet. If anybody's ever seen Judy Garland sing it and Meet Me in St. Louis, because I'm a movie buff, it just rips your heart out, throws it on the floor and stamps on it. I mean, it kills you. But my recollection as a kid of hearing Ella Fitzgerald's interpretation of it, which was kind of a very kind of rocking horse, sort of like nice swinging version, was the one that just made me feel, because I feel enough sadness at Christmas for missing all the people who are, you know, that I miss in my life, family and people who are no longer in my life. So I felt like to take it to that next step as a big band piece where it's still joyful. It still gives you that sense of, you know, you're sad that, like, I'm sad that my sister lives halfway around the world in Ireland and that most of my family are in Wales and that I don't get to see all my friends in Britain. But guess what? They're in my heart, my soul. I'll see them. I'm thinking of them. It is that beauty, you know, it's trying to bring that, that profound beauty that these songs bring without bringing the heartache, because I think we have enough of that in our lives. So it's that feeling in all of these songs.
And I don't want to spoil the whole album for everybody. I want to leave something for them to discover. But when I saw that you had recorded Last Christmas, I was very curious, because in my head, okay, it's Wham, it's a dance 80s kind of song. How is that going to work here? And it's unlike any version I've ever heard.
Yeah. I want to thank my label head, actually, Neil Greenberg, for suggesting that, because he'd heard this kind of very cruise ship cover of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
A very cruise ship cover of it. Very phoned in and lazy. But he said, hang on, I think this could be an absolute. Because, I mean, we all know Wham. It's probably, along with Mariah Carey, the most played song at Christmas time. It's a guilty pleasure. We know this. But, man, how great would it be if it was taken into the, again, Nelson Riddle, Frank, truly just like ultimate place. So why not take it into that grown-up, adult, nostalgic place? So I plucked it out of the 80s and took it back to another era, but then brought it completely up to date is what I really did. And it works so magnificently. And I think anyone hearing it will be amazed, because it's a classic song. It's a classic song. We know that. But now it's got classic grown up sexy bones on it that, you know what I mean? That, again, it just puts you in such a good mood. It's like, it feels like a big glass of Merlot or something. It just has this unbelievable reclining by the fire on the rug sort of vibe about it. Seriously, it's so right in there. But this is what I meant right at the beginning of our conversation. It's about putting your imprint on it. You know, it's about your sound. You can go. I mean, look at where all these songs go. I mean, I've got a new song. I've got a Wham cover. I've got Ella. You know, I mean, as in you take things, but you put your authentic sound on them. You put your, you use your imagination, your voice, and then it all makes sense. And it all becomes your world. I mean, that's the job. That really is it. So I'm very thrilled that that's in there because it belongs. And I'm really glad that Neil brought it to me because it's like, I wouldn't have got that. I wouldn't have got it until he mentioned that and played this incredibly cheesy version, which I'm glad I heard it. Because again, it's like you have to, like I did with Rediscovered, you have to think about this. You have to get your head around it. And reimagine it, and then it's the great bones. I mean, it's like I said, it's a terrific song, but who would have imagined it? But you know, again, it's sort of like right now I'm in the process of starting another album, and I've just started working on an Amy Winehouse song, Back to Black, and I'm doing it in a way that's so unexpected and so different, but it. Again, it's how I interpret it and how I feel it. So, any song, that's what I mean. Music is music. This is our language, and it's all about owning it.
Were there any Christmas songs that didn't quite make the cut that you still want to do, maybe for a Judith Owen Swings Christmas 2?
Ooh. You know, I mean, there's some because the big band stuff has been added on to what I've done in the last couple of years. So there's some of my other favorites with the fabulous Jason Marsalis on Vibes, Winter Wonderland, Sleigh Ride, Merry Christmas Baby, fabulous Charles Brown classic. So there's a lot of songs there. Of course, I've covered Mel Torme's The Christmas Song in the past as truly one of the greatest songs ever written in this world. I believe. And I think I do this Christmas show every year with Harry, Big Money Raiser that we used to do all over, you know, in LA and New York and London and New Orleans. We only do it in New Orleans now just because it's became so extraordinarily huge. It was so hard to travel and do this. But every year I have to find great Christmas songs, and the theme is Christmas. And I have to say, it is a verdant playground that some of the greatest songs that have ever been written are for Christmas, and they're profound and moving and beautiful. And I write my own Christmas songs for that very reason, because of all the emotions that it brings to fore. So I think I could just be going through the Great American Songbook, you know, no end, basically doing stuff like this. But I think I've covered a lot of some of the finest Christmas music. But I was so surprised to find No Better Time. There might be other ones out there. I might write one myself. Who knows? But it's I think Let It Snow is one of the most brilliant songs there is, you know, in this world. Jingle Bells is so ridiculous, but I'm determined to break the back of that particular one and make it so that it actually is, as you said, not just phoning it in, but something remarkable. Something remarkable. And that's where the big band come in, because that becomes remarkable. So maybe that would be the follow-up in that way, you know. Christmas in New Orleans, of course, a bit of a classic, bit of a standout, as we all know, but there's so little time, but let's see what happens if there's a Mark II. If there's a big band follow up, God knows, it's a thing of such beauty to do, and especially with these players. As I'm now calling it, the JO Big Band, because they're all down in New Orleans. So you know they're really quite something, these guys. So I'm very, very fortunate to be in the situation I'm in, where I actually get to, as you can probably tell by now, fulfill so many of my musical dreams and fantasies, you know. And I have got to do that by not staying in one lane And it feels so great to think, you know, this year I'm going big band. What a joy. And that's when it, you know, what a privilege it is, you know, to get to do this. It really is.
You had touched on this benefit that's coming up in December, and I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle. It's called Christmas Without Tears, and it's coming up December 17th at the Orpheum in New Orleans.
Yes.
What else can you tell me about that?
Well, when Katrina happened in 2005, Harry and I decided that the party we had at our house every year that was just every musician we knew and loved and actor and everybody else that had a party piece, they'd come over, there'd be sort of like a river of alcohol, of course, and a mountain of food, and then we'd all play around the piano. But it was it was the way that I dealt with Christmas, because I was so homesick and I was suffering. I just get depressed every Christmas. I always get depressed every Christmas. I know there's a lot of people out there that will understand this and appreciate it, but I have a love-hate relationship with Christmas. My mom died when I was a kid, right before Christmas. And she was also the person that instilled the love of Christmas in me, and decorating the tree and dressing it and the joy and the sparkles and the imagination and the fantasy. So yeah, I think we all struggle. I mean, emotionally with loss and the missing of people, but also with just the pure, for many people, just the financial strains, the loneliness. And so it became so important to have this throwback to how I grew up as in a Welsh family, singing around the piano in close part harmony. So, you know, all these carols and classic jazz songs, and we'd be singing away, you know, that's what it meant to us. We were, you know, and so I brought that along with me, and Harry knew that, you know, if I didn't do this party, I would be insufferable and utterly depressed for the whole of Christmas, as I would, in fact, be. So when Katrina happened, somebody from the Walt Disney Concert Hall in LA reached out to us and said, would you ever think of bringing this to the stage? And I said, absolutely. It would be an absolute joy. And so that's the first place we played it. And the reason we did it and said yes is so that we could raise money for Katrina, for the people of New Orleans, who were in such dire straits. So we've been doing it from that point onwards. We raised money for New Orleans and for programs, but in the cities that we were doing it in, we also raised money for the homeless, for critical situations and charities at Christmas time. And we also did it in Chicago too. So it was New York, Chicago, LA, New Orleans, and London. And then COVID hit, of course. And so that put the total kibosh on that. We couldn't do anything, couldn't travel, couldn't do it, but we could and did ultimately go back to New Orleans. And then went to the Orpheum, the big, beautiful opera house, the big concert hall there. And we raise money every year for IPNO, Innocence Project New Orleans, who are in the business. Their job is to basically free people who have been wrongly convicted or overly convicted and been usually put in prison for life. Many of whom have done absolutely nothing. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And some of whom have been given a life sentence for being found as kids with, like, you know, a joint on them or something like that. You know, I mean, it's just it's unfeasible, unthinkable. And so that's what we do. And we also raise money for instruments in schools and so on and so forth. And it's again, it's still the party that we had at home. It's still some of the greatest talent in New Orleans coming on doing their songs, doing their party piece, singing. This year, it'll be the big band. So, because I couldn't do a big band album and then not have the big band play. So we are going to do these songs on the stage of the Orpheum. And then it also includes a sing-along. It's on the stage is dressed for the Nutcracker. So fortunate about that. You know, we're bringing our furniture in. There's trees everywhere. There's tinsel everywhere. It's a party. The audience are part of the party. They're the invited guests, and everyone's on stage, the singers, the performers, everyone's enjoying each other, eating, drinking. That's the vibe. And the whole point of it is just to do giving back at a time when there's a lot of people that need help. And in that city that, you know, it has become, that we've chosen to live in, there's a lot of problems and there's a lot of people that need our help. And musically, it's a culture that it will never die, but it needs help. That's the point. I mean, I'm always amazed that America so doesn't really, I don't believe, take full care or appreciate New Orleans as the birthplace of jazz, as the birthplace ultimately of the music that came from that, whether it be rhythm and blues, the backbone of the pop world of everything that we do to this day, started here. And as an outsider, I feel incredibly strongly for that, because this is the place and the music that I was looking to as a kid and thinking, oh my God, you know, how could I ever get there or be there or see that? And so I think I'm glad to have been so enveloped in this community and so welcomed and loved, but also to support this extraordinary culture, musical culture, and an extraordinary city. So that's really what it's all about. And I look forward to the day when I can take this back to the cities that it used to perform in before. I constantly, every year, I get emails from LA and London, New York, saying, why aren't you coming back? Why aren't you coming back? And so it's a shame that we can't do it. But as you can imagine, the busier I've got, the more I'm touring. I'm about to do an NPR Christmas show before that, where I'm the guest singer and performer anyway. So things get harder, when you get busier. And this is a big undertaking, huge production. So all I can say is, if you can probably see it, we're trying to figure out a way to stream it live this year. But it's, if you are in the New Orleans area, it's a must see. It's such a joy, and the talent is extraordinary. But that feeling that I'm talking about in this music, the nostalgia, the feel good feeling, is in that room, is amongst that audience. It is Christmas to me. It means Christmas to me, because it's what I always wanted Christmas to be. And that is a room full of people who are feeling nothing but joy and love. And ultimately, that's hard for any of us to get, because it involves family, and we all know how that is. The strains and the pressure and the making everyone happy and the, you know, et cetera. Christmas is for children. We know that. It's for kids, but we're all kids inside. We never stop being kids.
Especially, and this is a way
and that's exactly why the big band music works so well. The Christmas music reminds us of our childhood, of the fact that we're still kids inside. We're just big kids. We just our bodies just grew up, but we're still in there. And this is the perfect time. This is one of the few times that we get to be childlike and to enjoy it and to let our imaginations run riot and to feel the joy that we felt when we were children. And so I think that's to be encouraged. And that's why I love playing this music and love this show, because we all get to be kids again. And there's nothing wrong with that. I wish we could do a bit more of that, actually.
I'll make sure to put a link down in the show notes for Christmas Without Tears, so anybody who is thinking about going to New Orleans or is going to be there, it'll be easy to click over. And if we find out that it's going to be streamed, let me know, and I will put the word out for that too. What, it has been so much fun talking to you. What's the best way for people to keep up with you, connect with you?
Well, you can always go to my website, judithowen.net, but, you know, I'm on Instagram, Judith Owen Music, I'm on Facebook, I'm on X, I'm on every single platform, I'm even on TikTok. You can just find me everywhere. I have my own channel on YouTube, of course, which I would encourage you to go to, because the videos are something. The videos are extraordinary, and there'll be some Christmas videos coming out to go with this, just of us in the studio, of seeing the big band, of feeling the warm and fuzzy. That's going to be, and of course, the first one is No Better Time. So I thank you so much for having me on. It's a delight to have this at this time of year ready to go. And I hope it makes people feel good, because that's the reason I did it. It really is.
Thank you so much. Can you add?
And of course, I should probably say that everybody should be zooming right now to Spotify to get this, to download it on Amazon, to go to iTunes. Get this now. You can stream this music immediately and you can have it as the soundtrack for your Christmas. I think you'll want it for the soundtrack. I do. I really do.
And thank you again. This was so
much fun.
Thank
you so much. This is such a pleasure. Have a great holiday.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, my love. Cheers. Right.
And thank you so much for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to the podcast, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that, find your favorite, click on over, and then you should subscribe so you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. If you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.